Please open your Bibles to two places. We're going to read God's Word from Philippians chapter 4 and also John 15. Let us bow our hearts and ask the Lord to bless His Word to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would truly hear You speaking to us in both the reading and the preaching of Your Word. For that to take place, O Lord, we realize that we need Your Spirit so that we might be granted to be able to focus, not be distracted by so many things that come to us. We are mindful that the devil also in this way has many wiles, many tricks to get us to be distracted, so that outwardly it looks like we're really listening and worshiping You, and yet really our minds are far away. So even here, Lord, we need to be strong in You. We need to have Your Spirit at work in us, so that we might truly worship You and not just go through the outward motions. Also, we need Your grace to hear You speak to us through one who is just like us, a sinful human vessel. And yet You have ordained it to be so, and so we pray You would bless Your graciously to Your servant to be used of him. And may we in this way glorify You and hear You speaking to us for our benefit, for Your gracious benefits to us that we are granted in Christ. Bless Your word to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let's read Philippians 4, verses 8 through 14. And our text is verse 13. Let us hear God's word. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Let's also read from John 15, the first 8 verses, continuing on in the reading of God's word. Jesus says, 15 verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Beloved congregation, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been going through chapter 4 of Philippians, it's kind of an interesting thing that you can see a kind of what we might call a trilogy. That is, there is a set of three things that are all related. And we've looked at these before, two of them. In verse 4, when it says, rejoice in the Lord always. We've seen that there is no reason ever to not be rejoicing. And then in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. No reason ever to be anxious or worried. And now in our text in verse 13, I can do all things. Nothing I cannot do. See, in each of these, there's this repeated idea of all things, of always, all times, all situations. And again, as I've said in the previous sermons, it can seem so unrealistic to us, almost kind of fanciful, as if the Christian life is, very nice, but it doesn't really work in everyday life as you go through all the ups and downs that we all have. And I do pray that more and more we will see that indeed the Christian life does work in real everyday life. And especially in our text this morning, that we will see how and why Christianity works. Our theme is, true believers can do all things, but only through Christ. Pretty simple theme. Our first point is, as you see in the bulletin, believers have ability and power to do all that God commands and expects of them. Our text says, I can do. Pretty simple phrase, but I trust it's helpful to reflect on it and what it means. I can do. That means I have strength. I have might. I have power. And it's the strength or the power that earlier we read from Ephesians 6. We're called to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you notice our text also says, I can do all things. There is nothing that we face where we can legitimately say, I just can't do that. I just can't do that. As we heard in the law this morning from Ephesians 6, to be strong, to stand against evil. It's so easy to say, well, in this situation, I just couldn't do it. I can't stand against that. How easy it is for us to claim that we have an excuse in such a situation. We can give reasons why we just can't do that. And we can compare ourselves to somebody else who, has, pardon the expression, but has more guts, has more courage. He has a certain character, or she. But me, I just can't do it. That's not me. And yet our text says, I can do all things. And the context, as we read in Scripture, the all things includes, we might summarize as the highs and lows of life. In verse 12, I know how to be abased, be put down, and I know how to abound. Just listen to this. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Just think of that. To have the ability to have a very much, still honor God, but also to have the ability to have very little and even be in need, still honor God. In verse 11, earlier in chapter 4, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Think of that. To be content in whatever I find myself in. And that doesn't mean that I'm lazy and I don't care or I cop out. I don't take responsibility. No, to be content means I accept that what is happening is what God has for me. And so I trust God. I trust God in the midst of it. Very close to what we heard about rejoicing in the Lord always, right? Rejoicing in the Lord as I go through those rather bad times. So I trust God in the midst of those bad times. And that also means I don't go about complaining and griping about them. Instead, as I go through them, I keep doing what God calls me to do. I am faithful. So being content has to do with really a resting, a trusting in the providence of God in all things. Not just when things go great and I say, yes, the Lord rules. But also when things don't go so good. I can rest and trust in God's government, His providence. Now, having heard this, obviously the all things is not as if, you know, we can do all that we want to do. That is foolish. That is foolish. And yeah, I know that there are those who almost are that foolish in their teaching, where you can do whatever you want to do. Just trust in God. The all things, and again, I know it's rather obvious, but we need to be clear and state it. The all things has to do with all things that God commands me to do. Right? Because always we are to remember, we are in service to Him, right? And we can do it. We are to fight against sin, and we can do it. Always. Even when we're all alone, you know, maybe in school and there's no other Christian around, we're not going to get support. Fight against sin, we can do it. We're to fight and win against the world and the devil, and we can do it. We're to serve God. We are to love Him in every little thing and big thing of our lives. And we can do it. How? How is it possible? Well, let's go to our second point. Believers have this ability only as they abide in Christ. Our text uses that little phrase, through Christ. And it's very much the same as in verse 7, which we heard from last Sunday, about that peace guarding our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Right? So here in our text, we have this ability, strength in all things, all times, through Christ who gives us that strength. It says, who strengthens me, right? So there's something rather important here, brothers and sisters. And it's this. The strength is ours. It's not as if, you know, Christ does this for me. As if we are some kind of stocks and blocks, and it's just going to happen. As I think about this, I think of that picture and poem. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it. And if you happen to have it hanging in your house, don't take it wrong when I have some things to say about it. But it really has to do with a false truth. And in case you don't know what I'm referring to, from the look on some of your faces, you do know. But there's this picture and something under it, a poem kind of. And it has to do with, you know, there's two sets of footprints in the sand. And one is me and the other is Jesus walking beside me. And then later on, there's only one set. And it has to do with, you know, when I go through real hard times, then Jesus carries me, and so His are the only footprints all of a sudden. See, it's as if normally I can walk and I can go basically on my own strength. And Jesus is like right beside me there, and it's just, you know, I'm able to do this. But then later, as I go through trouble, Jesus comes along and he carries me. So it's like I'm no longer engaged. He's just carrying me along. It's all his strength. In truth, it's very unbiblical. Because the biblical truth is that as believers, we can do nothing, nothing that's good, in our own strength. There's a little phrase we confessed in the Westminster Confession of Faith in Article 3, Chapter 16, earlier. And it says, it's not at all of themselves. It doesn't say, well, just when it's hard times, it's not all of themselves. It's not at all of themselves. So in everything, we need Christ to strengthen us in everything. Not just when we're in trouble, even. But the important point is that we are doing it. Our text doesn't say, I can't do nothing and Christ does it all for me. Put it rather bluntly. It says, I, and in fact that I is given a place to be an emphasis in this sentence. It's very emphatic. I can do all things. Earlier, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says the same way. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. So yeah, I can't do it myself. It's not something, you know, I can drum up in myself. But I can do this or that through Christ. Because he gives the ability to me. Now, another way to kind of flip this around, this is not, you know, the powers within me. I can just hear some of that going on. I can do it. The powers within me. This is not a message to say, believe in yourself. You'll hear that very often today. But at the same time, it's so important that the ability God gives to us is ours. This is us. In fact, literally, our text says this, if you would translate it literally. I can do all things in the one who is continually strengthening me, Christ. The emphasis is what I can do. I can do all things in the one who is continually strengthening me, making me able to do it, and that's Christ. So it's not just something that we are completely uninvolved with and Jesus just takes over. It's not going to just kind of magically happen. And so it's so important. This ability is granted to us if we are truly in Christ. Remember, in the WCF, the Westminster Confession of Faith, and our confession earlier from chapter 16, also referred to it, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, where it says, work out your own salvation, that's a command, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, so here's how you can do it, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So God works in us the will, the desire, and also the ability to do all things for his good pleasure. But at the same time, yes, it's God working it in us. It's not like you and I can sit back and kind of think, well, since God has to work it in me, and this is, after all, through Christ, I have to wait for him to somehow magically work this in me. That's not what it is. And we confess that also in Article 3 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 6, where it says, yes, the Holy Spirit must work in us, but it says we are not to grow negligent. Don't get lazy. Don't just sit back and think you don't have a duty in this. Don't wait for some special motion of the Spirit, it says. So, you see, yes, I can do all things. But, yeah, I do it through Christ. But, how exactly does Christ give this strength and ability to me? How does this take place? See, here too. It can sound so nice to say, I can do all things through Christ. And you know, there are many phrases that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, uses to say that. Very quickly, 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Ephesians 3:16, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. As we read in Ephesians 6:10 for the law, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And there are many others. But how do we get this? How do we get this ability from Christ? Well, it's shown in our scripture reading in John 15 about the vine and the branches. Jesus says, you are the branches. And then Jesus shows there are different kinds of branches. Some branches truly abide in the vine, in Jesus Christ. Some branches are really appendages. They're useless branches. Jesus says, you cannot bear fruit of yourself unless you abide in me. In fact, he says in verse 5, we read it, without me you can do nothing. And you notice also here, Jesus doesn't say, you can't do nothing, but I'll do it. He doesn't say, I'll do it. You don't have to do anything. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. That is, you will do exactly why you were created to be in me. And he says, without me, you can do nothing. So it's just like our text. It's as if Jesus says, with me, you can do everything, all things, right? But you see, Jesus talked about vine and branches to tell us something. Something that maybe we often forget or we overlook. That is, how does a branch live and thrive? Well, you know, a branch lives and thrives only as long as it is connected to the vine. Right now, you can drive along the streets and you can see a lot of dead branches. Why did they die? Because they were no longer connected to the trunk or the vine, right? So a branch only thrives and lives as long as it gets nourishment. In other words, has the ability to live. The branch doesn't have the ability in itself. And that's why as soon as it's lobbed off from the tree by whatever force, it will die. But, you know, just think about this. Does it look dead as soon as it falls off a tree? No, it doesn't, does it? But because it has no source, it has no nourishment for life, it will never bear fruit, it will never produce, you know, leaves and buds, and soon it will also look dead, right? So may that be very clear and plain to us, brothers and sisters, that when we do not abide in Christ, while we may not right away, you know, look dead spiritually, but when we do not abide in Christ, we are dying. And we cannot produce what a believer ought to be producing. will not have the ability to live as God commands us to live. We cannot do all things because we are not abiding in Christ. So when we say, I just can't stand against, you know, those sins, I'm all alone, I'm not like you, I'm not, whatever excuse you want to use, throw those excuses out and say, I can't do it because I'm not abiding in Christ. That's pretty tough. Yeah. But even then, there's something even more serious. It's not just, oh, well, no fruit, no leaves. No, if there's no fruit, that means there's no life there. And so Jesus right away talks about the fact that such a branch, that means such a person who is not abiding in Christ, such a branch in time will be cast out. It's withered and eventually thrown into the fire. If you look in the Bible, the matter of being cast out, it has to do with being put out of the kingdom, out of God's covenant. And that's possible. It's possible to be in the covenant and be put out. Jesus said it so clearly in Matthew 8, verse 12. Matthew 8:12, he says, the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Eternal hell, that's what he's talking about. They'll be put out. See, that's talking about those who are in the covenant because they're born to believing parents, but they're not abiding in Christ. They don't come to put their faith in Christ. They are not abiding, and therefore, eventually they are put out. They're cast out. So this abiding in Christ, it's not a preference, it's not a good idea, it's not like, well, that would be much better. No, this is of utmost importance. And this abiding in Christ explains our text when it says, I can do all things through Christ as I abide in him. But then we're still kind of left with a question. What is it to abide in Christ? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Let's see that in our last point, in number 3. Abiding in Christ is to think and live out of the Scriptures. It's not a mystery about how we abide in Christ. Jesus makes it so clear in John 15, in verse 3, when he says, you are already clean because of the Word. And later in verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Also, in 1 John, verse 2:14. 1 John 2:14. John, by the Holy Spirit, writes, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. Now, just to make a very rather obvious thing clear, to abide, because we don't usually use that word, but abide means to remain, right? It means, it has the idea of dwelling. In the Bible, it can also even mean to meditate. So abide means to be there, to remain there, to meditate. You know, when you meditate on something, it's an idea that you don't just let, it's gone, but you let it abide in you. You think about it, right? You meditate on it. So, abiding in Christ means to dwell or meditate on the Word. See, so often we somehow think, and I know that there are many who will teach this, that we can abide in Christ, you know, in some mystical, almost magical way. Kind of like somehow it just zaps us. That's how people think of the work of the Spirit. Well, this doesn't just happen. It doesn't just zap us. And really, there is no mystery about this. We abide in Christ as His word abides in us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we have scripture verses all over our fridges, although there's nothing wrong with that. And having His word abide in us doesn't mean that we have even memorized a lot of scriptures, though that's a very good idea. Having His word abide in us doesn't even mean necessarily that I know a whole bunch of the Bible. I have known people, I'm thinking of an English professor in university, who knew a whole lot of scripture by memory. And she certainly was not abiding in Christ. So you see, to say that to abide in Christ is that His word abides in us, that means that yes, I know scripture, but also I use it in my life. The word of God is our guide, our boundary, for everything. For what is right and wrong, for what's good and bad, for how we think about stuff, how we work, and on, everything. And in this exact context, please look again at our scripture in Philippians 4. Let's look at verses 8 to 9 again. Right in the beginning of our scripture reading, verses 8 and 9. Where it says, look at it. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, dwell on these things. These things which you learned and received, and heard, and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. When it defines all of these things going down to verse 9, these things you heard and saw in me, you received them. It's talking about the word of God that Paul was given by the Spirit of God. And he says, think and meditate on these things. It's about the word of God. It is that word as it works in us, in our hearts, in our minds. Then we more and more know and we practice what is true and noble and just and pure and lovely and so on. See, as branches, we don't have the right to act and live, you know, like, well, this is how I think. We don't have the right to say, well, this is what I believe. Yes, we are to make confession. But our confession, that's why we have the confessions in our worship. Our confession is not, well, I believe this, and it's completely apart from the word. We don't have that right as branches. In fact, I'm sure that you remember this. I hope you do. But the word confess means, the Greek word means to say the same thing. That's what it means. I confess, that means I say the same thing, obviously, as God says. How many times don't we hear it, and maybe we do it ourselves? You know, in a given situation, we don't think according to what the Bible says. We come to conclusions based on what we think. And sometimes even, sadly, based on what we can get away with. You know, nobody's challenged me on this, so I get away with this. So this is where I stand. Well, if it's not according to God's word, it's not through Christ, it's not in Christ, then that's being a dead branch. And that truth will give you no ability. Let the words ring in our ears. Without me, you can do nothing. So go ahead, live your life on what you think and what you believe. If that's apart from God's word, you will have no ability to do all things. You see, that's why we are often weak That's why often the church today and throughout history, she is so weak. She, in fact, cannot do all things in Christ because she does not abide in Christ. Just listen to how people talk, how they defend ideas. It's often, well, we believe this or that. You know, as a church, we think this or that. It's as if, and this is so common today, well, I believe this and you believe something a little different. It all depends on, you know, your interpretation of things. That's not abiding in Christ. And that's why people can't do all things. They are weak. Also the church. So, you know, why can't people simply say, the Bible teaches this? You know why? People can't say the Bible teaches this, well, sometimes because they don't know what the Bible says about this or that. They don't know how to think according to the Scriptures. And yes, we all need to grow in this. We never can say, well, I've figured it all out. There's no end to growing in this. But also, often, sadly, it seems that often many don't really take serious the truth that the Bible is God's Word. So if they believe and they think something a little different from the Bible, that's not even a problem to them. Because it's like playing off, you know, one idea against another. So we really need to take serious, and if we don't, we can forget this whole thing. We need to take serious that in the Bible, sorry, not in the Bible, but the Bible is God's inspired word. That is, the Holy Spirit gave it. He told the writers what to write. He breathed into them the words to write. That's what the Bible says. And if we don't take that serious, well, abiding in Christ is based on what you kind of want to do and what you think is best and what works. And if we're really honest, it's what keeps me out of problems with other people too. Many are very content with what they think. Many are very content with how they think. And they have no desire to grow in what the Bible says. And that's one reason why the church is so weak and powerless. Let's be honest, brothers and sisters. In much of our thought life, and in much of our actions, and in much of our reactions to things that we face, we are not abiding in Christ. That is, we are not thinking and living out of the Word of God. And yes, of course, you know, when we say the Bible teaches this or that, we always welcome someone coming along and showing us from the Bible that we had it wrong. That's not a problem to us. We want to learn. Because you see, this isn't about me or you, this isn't about us, this is about truth. And if someone points out to us more truth, a clearer truth, we are happy to know it. That's abiding in Christ. That's how we get stronger. Over the years, brothers and sisters, I've seen two kinds of people in churches. One kind are those who are very eager to learn more. They always ask questions about the Bible. They ask questions about life, how they ought to think, what they ought to do, how they ought to react, and so on. And the other kind of people are those who show little signs of wanting to learn, little signs of wanting to grow. They're content with just the minimal. It's not a problem for them to grow so that they will act and react according to God's word. Now, which of these two kinds do you think are strong? Which of these kind do you think have the ability to live daily life in a godly way and have victory in their lives? Which of these two kinds do you think are always going through something? They are seldom rejoicing in the Lord. Instead, they're always complaining, or often complaining. They're always anxious and worried, and on and on. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious. Why do you think Luther was so strong? You know, he stood before the church, the only Christian church at the time. It wasn't like, well, you know, here was this church, and here was a Baptist church, and here was Presbyterian, blah, 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 and he just decided this church. No, 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 it was the only Christian church at the time. He stood before powerful bishops and councils. And what did Luther say to them? Did he say, well, I believe this or that? No. Luther said, unless you can show me from the Bible where I am wrong, here I stand, I can do no other. That's what Luther said. That's abiding in Christ. That's how we have the ability to do all things which God calls us to do. In Hebrews 11, when it speaks about the saints of old, in verse 34, it says, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That is only possible. We abide in Christ, in His Word. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, the truth of our text, obviously, it hinges on the Holy Scriptures. And remember, don't divorce the Scriptures from Jesus. If you do, you won't have the true Scriptures, and if you do, you won't have the true Jesus either. It is through that Word that we come to see and know and be convinced that Jesus is the living Word, right? And we know Him, and we come to think like Him as we know and we live out of the Word that He gave through His Holy Spirit. Again, remember, literally our text says, is continually, ongoingly strengthening me. In all of my life, daily, regularly, I am abiding in Christ as I live according to His Word. So, brothers and sisters, when we fail, you know, when we blow it, when we sin, when we are overcome with anxiety, maybe depression, great weakness, when we find we are so unable to cope and deal with stuff, the problem is not that Christianity doesn't work in real life. The problem is we are not really working with Christianity. That's the real problem. The problem is we are not abiding in Christ, in the Word. We're not thinking and living out of the Scriptures. Instead, we're living according to what we think and what we want. And really, really, we are living according to the common religion of today, which I hope you know is humanism. That's what we're living according to. And then we are weak, and then we cannot do all things, because we are not cannot say we're doing this through Christ. There are many who claim it, but the Christ they're talking about isn't in the Bible. Because they don't even know the Bible. So you see, then, don't blame it on Christianity. Then we must realize man cannot do anything in himself, but he needs Christ. He needs the Word. And he has the Word not just in some mystical, magical way, But we have Christ, we have his word, as it influences and it transforms us so that we grow more and more. We grow to live and to think out of the scriptures. That's why we have stuff like Pizza Theology and catechism classes and so on. And the more we grow to live and to think out of the Bible, dear brother, dear sister, child, God has promised you that you can do all things that he commands you to do. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us as your children, so that you kind of admonish us about thinking that somehow we can have strength but not be growing in your word and understanding it and applying it. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Show us and deeply convince us that we are branches and we need to be connected to Christ always, that is to his word, or we will wither and die. So grant us the fruits of righteousness from abiding in Christ. Grant us hearts that long for that. And in this truth, O Lord, may you have truly prepared our hearts to, in a sense, even be eager to partake at the Lord's Supper now. Because here we remember how we are one in Christ, that we eat of his body and we drink of his blood spiritually. We believe in him. He has become part of us, and we live out of him by living out of his word. Thank you for your word. May it accomplish the purpose for which you have given it to us. We pray in Jesus' name.